Unit 24, Types of Retirement and Benefits, page number 35, Structure, 24.0, Objectives of the Study, 24.1, Introduction, 24.2, Origin and Purposes, 24.3, Aims and Objectives of Retirement System, 24.4, Need of a Retirement System, 24.5, Characteristics of Systems, 24.6, Salient Features of Retirement System, 24.7, Forms of Retirement Systems, 24.8, Condition for Grant of Retirement Benefits, 24.9, Retirement Age, 24.10, Administration and Preparation for Retirement, Family Pension, 24.11, ARC on Retirement Benefit, 24.12, Let us sum up, 24.13, Keywords, 24.14, Some Useful Books. Page number 36, section 24.0, Objectives of the Study. The main purpose of the study is to enable students to understand the concept of retirement and the justification for providing retirement benefits to their employees. This chapter would help students to trace the evolution of the concept of retirement and how it became an integral part of the modern administrative system. Section 24.1, Introduction. One of the areas of personal administration which was slow to evolve was systematic and humane attention to the matter of separation of employees by reason of age, disability or death. Until a comparatively few decades ago, this critical aspect of the husbanding of the human resources of organization was handled in manners ranging from the haphazard to the unjust. Neglect and failure in this area was at least as true of industrial personal management as it was in the public sphere. In turn, evolution of the modern concept of retirement systems has run the gamut from expediency and charity to the idea of the employee's right to a deferred wage upon completion of a career. Section 24.2, Origins and Purposes. The British were far ahead of the United States in establishing funds and schemes to compensate for superannuation, a term contrived to convey the idea of a point in one's career where usefulness on the job demonstrably begins to decline because of advanced age. With roots going back to a pension plan for the British Customs Service as early as 1712, the first comprehensive law created a generous arrangement for all civil servants in England in 1810, with important revisions in 1857 and others later. Privilege and corruption in the civil service near the end of the 18th century had led to the drive for paying pensions entirely out of public funds. The main features of the 1857 revision, a non-contributory plan, scale of pensions based on annual increments and recognitions of the age of 60 years as a normal time of retirement, are still in force. Page number 37. By comparison, developments in USA were slow and halting. The federal government has had a retirement system for its civil employees since 1920, which became a true annuity plan based on actuarial principles only in 1930 and has been greatly revamped and liberalized in 1956. And subsequently, three states and municipalities followed suit during the decades following. Today, all states have some kind of contributory system for retirement annuities. A determining factor in promoting public service retirement system was the passage of the Social Security Act of 1936, which had compelled private employers and workers, with few exceptions, to contribute to reserve funds to be used for a nationwide annuity plan. Public jurisdictions had little choice but to provide at least equivalent arrangements. An amendment in 1950 gave further impetus to government retirement plans by extending coverage of the General Social Security Law to public workers not yet under retirement systems and gave annuitant survivors greater protection than that allowed in many of the states and local plans then existing. Most important, it provided continuity of minimal protection for workers who shifted from one job to another in public employment or between public and private employment without weakening in any way existing public retirement systems or affecting their independence. The history of public retirement legislation in the United States has been one of multiple plans covering particular jurisdictions, departments or employment categories, beginning with those for which there was strong employee organization pressure, special public appeal or concern about hazardous duty. The first groups covered, therefore, were not surprisingly police, firemen and school teachers. More recently, there has been a steady trend towards statewide retirement systems covering municipal and other local employees, thus resulting in a gradual decrease in purely local plans, as the National Social Security Foundation has been applied to public services, retirement systems have usually been revised to provide supplementary protection in such a way that the total protection furnished under the two systems has been greater than could be provided under either alone. It is hardly necessary to observe that statewide systems are virtually essential for small localities on the grounds that a broad base is necessary to spread the risk and to permit advantageous investment of funds, as well as for reasons of efficient administration and audit. Even more important, a common system throughout a state makes for greater possible mobility of employees among governmental units within that jurisdiction. Page number 38. From the standpoint of the government as employer, the primary object of an adequate retirement system is, to put it in the simplest terms, improvement of the staff. It facilitates the graceful and human elimination of the superannuated and those who otherwise become incapacitated. The fact that a worker could be kept at his desk or bent until he died, as was typical of all civil services for all too long a time, meant not only poor performance but less opportunity for promotion of others. It is fully recognized now that a retirement plan contributes to employee advancement opportunity and therefore to incentive and also to planning for recruitment and replacement. Although at one time objectives were expressed primarily in humanitarian terms, the more realistic look suggests that reasons of administrative efficiency are sufficient unto themselves to justify. All civil services for all too long a time meant not only poor performance but less opportunity for promotion of others. The benefit is not a gratuity but a straight business proposition serving the interests of the service and the employee in equal measure. Simultaneously with the development of retirement systems in public employment, comparable pension arrangements were blossoming in private industry under the same twin stimuli of hard-headed practicality and the impetus of national social security. Today, most large employers sponsor retirement plans that supplement basic social security, and the details is frequently the subject of union management agreements. The history of such systems has, like those in government service, evolved from consideration of business expediency to those of social responsibility based on the concept of the deferred wage. The tendency in these plans has been to make the financing frequently the subject of union management agreements. Professor L. D. White has rightly observed, in quotes, "A retirement system for civic employees is primarily designed to facilitate the termination of employment of men and women whose powers have failed on account of age or disability by granting allowances for past services, to provide benefits to dependents in case of death, and to improve the morale of services by creating a sense of economic security. From the point of view of the promotion, advancement, transfer employee, the retirement system helps to compensate for modest scale of pay, relieves anxiety for the future, and furnishes a convenient means of regular saving." Close quotes. Thus, the retirement system is in fact an integral part of personal administration. This is evident from the objects which it serves. Page number 39, section 24.3, aims and objectives of retirement system. In the first place, it eliminates from public service those employees who, due to incapacity or old age, are unable to discharge their duties adequately. This is necessary in the interest of efficiency and economy in the service. Second, retirement of older employees from highest position is essential to provide opportunities for promotion to comparatively younger group of employees. The number of higher posts is limited. If the people at the top do not retire, there would be left no room for promotion. In the absence of opportunities for promotion, the public servants would not put their heart and soul in the work because the road to further progress is closed. Third, to inject new blood and fresh ideas in public services, it is necessary that older employees should retire so that room be provided for new entrants abreast of new ideas and fresh techniques. Fourth, unless there is a retirement system, men and women at a certain age would not feel attracted to the public services. Fifth, for retaining the best qualified persons in government service, a retirement system is imperative. A system of pensions on retirement boosts the morale of the employees who have not to worry for their sustenance after retirement. Last, on humanitarian grounds also, it is but desirable that employees who have become less efficient or wholly incapacitated for work as a result of physical disabilities consequent upon advancing years must not be made to retire from the service without adequate provision for the remaining years of life. Thus, the desirability of government making provision for the retirement of their old and incapacitated employees is irrefutable. Page number 40. Check your progress 1. Question number 1. Write a note on the origins and purposes of a sound retirement policy. Answer: C-section 24.2. Question number 2. Explain the aims and objectives of a retirement system. Answer: C-section 24.3. Section 24.4. Need of a retirement system. The last problem of public personal administration is that of retirement of the personnel. An essential part of the merit system of public personnel is the state desires to get the best attention and wholehearted devotion of her employees during the best part of their life. She has to ensure them an easy and carefree life in their old age. Edmund Burke justified a system of pension on the ground that, in quotes, no man knows when he cuts off incitements to virtuous ambitions and the just rewards of the public service, what infinite mischief he may do his country through all generation, close quotes. Therefore, a retirement system is a necessary part of building up a public personal system solely on the merit principle. Man cannot work efficiently after a certain age when he grows old and weak. After reaching this age, he needs rest and relaxation with the creation of public services as a permanent government career. It would cause untold misery and hardship to such personnel if no provision is made to meet their financial needs. Therefore, all countries have established retirement system for their public servants. Page number 41, section 24.5, characteristic of systems. By way of definition, the term retirement is used here to embrace 1. Separation from the service with annuity by virtue of age, either A. optional at a specified minimum age and minimum service, B. mandatory at a specified maximum age, or C. flexible under sundry combinations of circumstances. 2. Separation with annuity due to physical or mental disability after some minimum period of service. 3. Separation with annuity following retrenchment of staff. And 4. Annuities to survivors or dependents upon death of an employee in the service or during retirement. The supporting mechanisms and the various considerations that enter into all these alternatives deserve further examination. Section 24.6, salient features of retirement system. There are certain common features of all types of retirement systems. They are as follows. A. Retirement is compulsory at a fixed age. In certain cases, constitution of the country fixes the age of superannuation. In India, for instance, the retirement age of the judges of the High Court and the Supreme Court and of the members of the Public Service Commission, both at the sector and in the states, has been fixed up according to the constitution. The employees are required to retire at a certain age even if their physical fitness has not been impaired. B. Every retirement system makes a provision for pensions to the members retired. They are paid wholly by the government, but they cannot be claimed as a right and it can be withheld if the employee is suspected of subversive activities detrimental to the interests of the state or if he has acquired a foreign citizenship or has attempted to undermine the prestige of the government. A public servant may be forced to retire due to physical disability or ill health. In that case, he is to be paid proportionate pension. C. Besides pensions, there are certain other benefits, that is, provident fund, insurance, etc., to which the employees are entitled after retirement. In certain countries, both pension and provident fund are allowed. Provident fund differs from pensions in two aspects. 1. Partially they are contributory and partially non-contributory, the government and the employee contributing half and half. 2. These benefits are paid not monthly but a lump sum at the time of retirement. Page number 42. The insurance systems are wholly contributory. These schemes may be compulsory or may be optional. Since April 1950, the Government of India has introduced Provident Fund and insurance schemes for its employees. In the initial stages, those who had rendered more than 10 years of service were to be compulsorily brought under the scheme. However, those who had put in less than 10 years of service were given an option to be or not to be governed by this scheme. Presently, all confined employees are required to contribute towards Provident Fund. Some state governments also have opted for insurance schemes for its employees. Check your progress. 2. Question number 1. Discuss briefly the need for and the characteristics of a retirement system. Answer: C-sections 24.4 and 24.5. Question number 2. Enumerate the characteristics of retirement system. Answer: C-section 24.6. Page number 43. Section 24.7. Forms of retirement systems. There are three forms of retirement systems, namely 1. Non-contributory, 2. Partly contributory, and 3. Wholly contributory. Under the first system, the government undertakes to defray the entire cost of making the retirement allowances. The employees are not called upon to contribute any money to the retirement fund. Under the second system, the cost is partly met by the government and partly by the employees. The contribution of the employees is secured through compulsory deductions from their salaries, which is carried to a provident fund along with the government's contributions. Under the third system, the entire cost is met by the employees through deductions made from their salaries. Each of these systems has its merits. Many people are unwilling to accept the first system. They say that the employee is under the obligation to make provision through saving for his future needs as the person in private employment. They advocate the wholly contributory system. On the other hand, some people maintain that the entire cost should be met by the government. Just as the government pays for the salaries of its employees, so it must pay for their retirement allowances, which should be considered as a part of their salary. From the viewpoint of expediency, it will do away with the expensive and complicated method of making deductions from pay. Finally, there are many others who look upon the responsibility as a joint one and advocate partly contributory system, which occupies a middle position between the two extreme systems of non-contributory and wholly contributory. It is argued that this system will not necessarily burden either party and will create the spirit of making sacrifices in the employees. In India, the first system, that is non-contributory system, prevails. The government gives pension to her employees on retirement. Page number 44, section 24.8, condition for grant of retirement benefits. 1. The full retirement benefits admissible under these rules shall not be given as a matter of course or unless the service has been thoroughly satisfactory. 2. If the service has not been thoroughly satisfactory, a reduction in the amount of retirement benefits otherwise admissible under these rules may be made by the central government on the recommendation of the state government to such extent as the central government may deem appropriate, provided that the retirement benefits once granted shall not be reduced on the ground that proof of the service not having been thoroughly satisfactory become available after the sanction. 3. Any case in which retirement benefits or compensation allowance has not been sanctioned shall not, unless there are special grounds for doing so, be reopened on the grounds that the amount sanctioned is less than the maximum admissible under these rules. Section 24.9, Retirement Age. The age of retirement varies from country to country according to L.D. White, the climatic conditions and the average expectation of longevity of life. The age of retirement is generally fixed by the statutory, but in certain important cases it may also be fixed by the constitution. For example, the retirement age of the judges of High Courts and Supreme Court and members of the Public Service Commission in India has been fixed by the constitution. In the United States, the retirement age of employees is 65 to 70 years, in Britain 60 to 65 years, and in India 55 to 58 years. Now raised to 60 years by the BJP coalition government, with a few exceptions. In fixing the age of retirement, two opposite viewpoints contend for acceptance. According to one view, in quotes, the retirement age should be as high as possible so that the full benefit of the accumulated experience of the employees may be obtained and pensions may have to be paid for as short a period as possible. This is the view of a large section of public servants. The other view, which is shared by the younger elements, is that the superannuating age should not be raised high as it blocks the prospects of their early promotion and impedes entrance of the younger element in case of a vacancy. The government's policy of employing afresh the retired and superannuated employees if they are very indispensable instead of increasing retirement age is really to be commended. Close quotes. Page number 45, section 24.10, Administration and Preparation for Retirement, Family Pension. The Central Personnel Agency is the logical location for administration of a jurisdiction's retirement system. Costs of administration are thus customarily borne by the government involved. Because of public concern over the potentialities of misuse of reserve funds, it is not uncommon and not unwise for a policy board of some kind to oversee the creation of the system. Where a joint contributory plan is in effect, representation on such a board of employee groups covered under the plan is desirable. Their money, along with that of the government, is being managed and they should be expected to share the responsibility for its safe and effective use, especially when it comes to investment and the relationship between earnings and benefits. The Board of Trustees or overseers should, however, confine its role to that of determining general policy. For the actuarial and other technical work required for sound administration of the system, the career staff designated for the purpose should have the requisite authority for daily transactions and methodology. Except perhaps when a new system is being installed for the first time, membership in a retirement system should be compulsory for all full-time continuing workers as a condition of their employment. This policy is necessary to ensure a broad-based system covering an adequately representative range of people as to vocation, age and life expectancy to provide management the guarantee that the superannuated can be separated without deprivation of income, and to make certain that employee wisely participate in assurance of their own protection for their advancing years. Temporary, limited term or part-time employees are more appropriately made subject to the compulsory national social security system alone, without augmentation by the staff retirement system. More and more employers, public and private, are concerning themselves with the obligation to help prepare employees who want and need the help to make the transition from a work environment to retirement, especially for those who have not given the matter much thought or whose intellectual or educational preparation is not as adaptable. Sudden adjustment to retirement can be a traumatic experience. On the other hand, many who have abundant emotional and mental resources to adapt to a new life are quite prepared for the experience. In either case, nevertheless, some adjustment is likely necessary to a new level of income. All will be concerned with their continuing health. Some will need advice as to a vocational pursuit, travel or other use of leisure time. Page number 46. Point number 1. It is with such subjects that anticipatory planning before retirement deals. For those whose retirement is in sight, conference groups, movies and reading matter can provide useful information and ideas. Progressive public agencies regularly make such programs available to prospective retirees. As in so many aspects of personal administration, however, relationship with employees in retirement preparation or counseling must be highly flexible to permit individualized treatment. Higher level and better educated employees feeling more self-sufficient than others may even resent too much advice, which they may consider paternalistic or at least superfluous. On the other hand, they may welcome some of the information that would not otherwise be readily accessible to them. Proffering of assistance by the organization should make clear that attendance or participation in pre-retirement programs is entirely voluntary. Perhaps as more flexible retirement policies are developed, the emphasis in pre-retirement counseling will be on winning acceptance or instilling understanding of a tapering off or some other gradual transition instead of preparation for complete severance of connection programs is entirely voluntary. 2. The rate of gratuity should be changed so as to make the maximum amount available on completion of 30 years qualifying service. 3. Temporary service when followed by permanency, whether in the same or any other post, should count in full for pension. Extraordinary service of certain employees in defense establishment should count as half and not as one quarter as at present. 4. Leave taken out of India should count for pension to the same extent as leave taken in India. 5. When the total period of qualifying service exceeds completed years by more than 6 months, an additional benefit of half a year's pension may be allowed for the purpose of determining the quantum of pension. Page number 47, point number 6. Officiating, special and personal pay may continue to count in full in cases in which if so counts at present, but in other cases such pay draw during last 3 years of service should be taken into account in full or in half according to specified circumstances. 7. Non-practicing allowance of doctors should count for pension. 8. Government may consider the question of granting some relief to persons whose pension does not exceed Rs 200 per mensem where there is increase in the cost of living. 9. Scientific employee of semi-government institutions financed from case or government grants when appointed to permanent government service should be permitted to count in full their service for pension, provided their previous employees are willing, in lieu of their contribution to the Contributory Provident Fund, to pay to the government pension contribution for the period of service with them. 10. To facilitate free interchange of scientists and technologists between the government and the universities, the pensionary contribution which the latter have to pay when they borrow the service of a government servant should be restricted to the rate at which the university contributes toward the provident fund of its other employees. Family pension. Regarding family pensions of a government servant dies while in service, but after completing 24 years of qualifying service, half the superannuation pension admissible to him if he had retired on the date following his death is payable for 5 years to his family. In the event of death after retirement, half the pension which he was getting is payable to his family for the unexpected portion of 5 years from the date of retirement. The family pension is subject to a maximum of Rs 150 per mention in all cases. Page number 48, section 24.11, ARC on retirement benefit. The Administrative Reforms Commission, ARC, made the following recommendations for effective reforms in the retirement system in India. A. A civil servant may be permitted to retire voluntarily after he has put in 15 years of service. B. Such government employees who have been superseded should be allowed to retire even earlier on similar terms if they have served at least for 10 years. C. If a temporary employee remains in government service continues for 10 years or more, he should be entitled pension and gratuity on the same scale as are allowed to permanent government employees. D. The quantum of pension admissible should be raised to 3/6 of the average emoluments of the last 3 years of service as against the existing 3/8. E. The present ceiling of maximum amount of pension should be raised to rupees 1000 per month. F. The receipt of death cum retirement gratuity should be made optional. Government of India and some state governments have accepted most of these recommendations. In fact, they have further improved the pension benefit to the benefit of employee and their family. Maximum ceiling on pension benefit for the family after pensioner's death has since been enhanced by the government in the recent past. Check your progress 3. Question number 1. Examine various forms and conditions for retirement benefits. Answer C, section 24.7. Question number 2. Write a note on the administration and preparation for retirement. Answer C, section 24.10. Question number 3. Bring out the condition for the grant of retirement benefits. Answer C, section 24.8. Question number 4. Discuss the recommendations of ARC on retirement benefits. Answer C, section 24.11. Page number 49. Section 24.12, let us sum up. Retirement system has evolved over several decades in different countries. A sound retirement system is important to maintain the efficiency of administration. It also has humanistic approach. Personal administration all over the world has been concerned with the preparation of a good retirement system. Though it did not get the attention of personal administrators that it deserves in the earlier period, many countries have now recognized the imperatives of designing a sound retirement system to their employees. The practice, however, differs in different countries. US government is a pioneer in developing a scientific retirement system. Many other countries have followed suit since then. In India, public servants without exception enjoy the retirement benefits, but there is need for improvement. Many people who work in the unorganized sector and those who work on a temporary basis are denied these benefits. Supreme Court of India has been often forced to intervene in this matter. Any country that is concerned about good and efficient administration cannot afford to neglect the security of the employees once they are not in a position to work. Page number 50, section 24.13, keywords. Superannuation means state of being retired. Annuity means yearly grant. Compensate means counterbalance. Retrenchment means reduction, cutting off. Temperamental means tendency of mind. Subversive means over, through. Deduction means deducing. Extravagant means wasteful. Actuarial means based on recorded figures. Deprivation means felt loss. Traumatic means pertaining to wounds. Superfluous means more than enough. Section 24.14, some useful books. Personal Administration by Tyagi. Personal Administration in India by Bambri. Public Personal Administration by Stahl. Public Administration by Vishnu Bhagwan.